Sentinel Online. Now loading the Beast Unleashed podcast.
This is David Sobolov, voice of Depth Charge in Beast Wars, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast.
This episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast features Stephen C. Phillips, Mike Blanchard, and Michael Wilson.
Hello and welcome to the Tentacle Porn podcast. Oh, I mean the Beast Unleashed podcast, the world's first ever Beast Wars Beast Machines review podcast.
Way to throw him under the bus, jackass.
I'm just shaking my head. Oh my god. We are starting off as low as we can possibly get. The only way from here is up.
Well, it is the 25th episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast. I am TFGO and Mike, and I'm joined by Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. And Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Not bad, now that we've included tentacle porn in our lives. So.
Well, you know, if you hadn't actually ever mentioned it before you even sent us anything, if you just never even used the damn word, then... You know, we wouldn't have to keep throwing you under the bus with it.
I think it's a funny word. I as a phrase, I enjoy it.
tentacle porn for everyone. Exactly. Let's share it.
Exactly.
And apparently, according to the TF Wiki for an episode that we're going to talk about today, apparently Megatron has a copy of Two Girls, One Cup.
I like the look on Retchef's face. But, what? Yeah, there's an awful lot of wah in these episodes, so...
I know,
kind of throw that in there.
Yeah, I was waiting for Steve to say something about it, but he didn't.
I am not commenting on tentacle porn as Megatron.
You don't want to sully your reputation, huh?
Not any more than it already has been. He's like, fucking Barney in the ass, so that's not going any farther.
I kind of wish I could do a good Rat-Trap impersonation, because it'd be like, oh my god, what are they doing? Oh, now they're puking on it.
Oh god. All right, so.
That is the vilest thing I've ever seen.
That's what we need to do, is do Two Girls, One Cup reaction videos for all of the characters.
No.
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
No. So, Steve, what have you been up to? You just got back from vacation, didn't you?
Yes. That's and I've had to go back to the full work schedule, which blows. And I came down with a head cold about 2 days ago that I'm overcoming once more. And I think it has something to do with my secondary job, because every time I work there, I get sick.
Ugh. Were you sick during vacation?
No, I was fine. Okay. I come back here, 2 days in, I'm fucked.
Huh.
Oh. And, you needed
a vacation from your vacation.
Yeah, and then I come back, and by Tuesday, I'm already feeling the effects of job number two.
Mm-hmm.
With cold and flu medicine, thank you very much, stupid-ass pizza place.
That must be why you are in such a good mood.
Yeah, then I'm groggy anyway, so.
How was vacation? Let's talk about the positive here.
Well,
Tennessee. Vacation.
Yes, that was very fun down there. Went and saw some shows, saw a hypnotist show, which was decent. It could have been better, because this guy was running the whole thing by himself. And we bought DVDs of it, because we got the tickets for free. Which... Okay. It was worth the free, but the ticket or the DVD was $25, and he used a camcorder, the equivalent of what I actually own, and it was in the corner of the room instead of set her on, or having somebody run it to move with, you know, so you see him run off, and you don't know what the fuck he's doing unless you were actually there, and then it could have been much better quality for $25.
Huh.
If I would have known the quality it was at, I wouldn't have bought it, but...
You don't know until you get home and you're watching
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
It. I mean, it was worth it in the sense that we didn't pay for the tickets, and I got to watch my wife act like a complete doofus on Sweet. Stage.
That's always fun.
I was volunteered first by her to be the ventriloquist dummy that they put something on my face, and then he pressed a button and it moved a mouth, and he would do stupid shit, and then,
Okay, I must see this video.
Which is hilarious. So, it was well worth it.
Okay, you have to put that on YouTube.
Yeah, if I could figure out how to rip it off the DVD, I probably would.
Nice. It must be done. Do it
yes.
now.
Yes. Do it now. Do it now.
but I'm in a better mood now that I've just watched your music video on YouTube.
Yeah. We'll have to keep that a secret until we actually unleash it on the public, but I think that would be hilarious, yeah.
Yeah, we'll do that in the finale.
That would be awesome, yeah.
That would be hilarious.
Speaking of finales...
Ended on the low road.
All good things lead to the low road.
Well, not necessarily if you're talking Beast Wars.
Yeah. Best episode ever.
I would rather listen to a guy...
You'd rather watch Two Girls, One Cup than the low road.
Well, the nice thing about Beast Machines is that there's no fart humor, I should say. A little fart humor goes a long way. We don't need an entire episode of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you been up to, Michael?
This week, visiting firemen, mostly.
Cool.
Yeah. Yesterday, Aiden had a field trip at his preschool. So I took the day off and escorted him. And we went to the local fire department, and we got to meet the firemen, and they put on their fireman gear. Aiden got to wear some fireman gear, which was kind of neat. We got some pictures of that. They crawled up into a fire truck. They got a big presentation on fire safety. So that was neat. And then last weekend, we went out to the Munster Fire Department open house. It was a beautiful day, and, you know, we're out there, and the kids got to shoot the fire hoses, and that was cool. Aiden liked that. Gavin liked that a lot. Ronald McDonald was there, and the guy did a really good Ronald McDonald. It was cool. It was like Ronald McDonald was there.
As opposed to not being there.
No, he was totally in character. It was nice, yeah. Sparky the Fire Dog was there, which was, you know, a guy in a Sparky the Fire Dog suit. Not nearly as cool as Ronald McDonald. They had fire truck rides. The whole family got up in a fire truck and went for a ride. That was kind of neat. They had, you know, free hot dogs and ice cream and chips and Coke. And we just made a day of it. We were there a few hours. It was like I said, a really nice day, and we had a good time. It's Fire Safety Month. So all the local, you know, fire departments are having open house days. And we've been to two of them, and then there was Aiden's field trip. So we've seen a lot of the firemen lately.
Cool. How's Gavin doing? Is he getting any better?
Oh, yeah. Today he was a lot better. He, you know, the other day he was sick and lethargic and just not a happy camper. But, you know, he's back on his feet now. He's back to pestering his brother.
Yes. And now on Sci-Fi is SmackDown on Friday.
Thank you so much. I've got a whole blog post on how Friday nights used to be Sci-Fi Friday, and all of our favorite sci-fi shows were on Friday nights. And now our favorite sci-fi shows are on Tuesday and not Friday. Friday has been commandeered by wrestling. That kind of makes me unhappy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. What have I been up to? Just the usual stuff, podcasting, playing games. I had a chance to talk with Johnny Young Bosch for This Week in Geek. That was pretty cool. I got my second Puggleformer in. I got Transmetal 2 Cheetor from Beast Wars. Very, very cool. Very, very awesome. So that's that. What else have I been doing? Haven't really got too much as far as toys recently, obviously, but since it's like the beginning slash middle of the month by the time this gets aired. Let's see what else. That's pretty much it. So, anybody else have anything else to say before we get into some episodes?
No.
Nay.
All right, let's do it.
I know the true nature of our mission. The answer has been inside us all along, inside our bodies. That's why the Matrix sent us to Earth in the first place, to bring back the organic within our bodies, to restore it to the very body of Cybertron. But the Matrix never intended for the organic to replace the technological. It didn't want us to fight a war, but to create a balance. The techno-organic balance between machine and the organic. Yes, I am ready to join the Matrix. But not today.
Alright, so first up today is Fallout. We are starting Season 2 of Beast Machines, which was subtitled. It was Beast Machines Battle for the Spark for Season 2, which was kind of weird. Having destroyed his world, Optimus must face the consequences before the Matrix. And again, Rhino, you guys suck with synopsises.
Yes.
It's like, I swear. And the reason why I say they suck, especially with the Beast Machines DVD set, is because instead of actually giving us a booklet, they printed the crap on the box. Asshats.
I don't even know why they still had the rights to Beast Machines.
Well, I meant to get into this in the intro. I was talking with Optobotomus because with the hub being launched now, he was waiting for Beast Wars to come onto it, and I said, well, why don't you just get the DVDs? He said, do you know how much they're going for since they're so rare now? I was like, oh, okay, well, let's just go to rhino.com. That's where I got mine. I got all three sets for Beast Wars, I got them for like $122 overnight shipped, which isn't a bad price. What?
Holy crap. When I got mine, they were like $15 each.
Okay, but you gotta understand, I went through rhino.com. Yeah, so Rhino is the people that produce and distribute the DVDs, so they're going to charge them at manufacturer price.
I guess so.
Yeah, it was $59.99 and then $41.99 each the other two seasons. So, I don't know. Anyways, so I was like, well, I said to Paul, I said, well, let me go over to Rhino and see if they're still there. The Beast Wars DVDs are no longer on Rhino.com. For some reason, Beast Machine still is, probably because they haven't sold out of it yet. But I'm betting that Rhino has lost the rights to the Beast Wars saga, to the Beast saga overall, and I'm betting that Shout Factory has them, but they're just not telling us yet.
As of right now, Transformers Beast Machines, the complete series on four discs, is at deepdiscountdvd.com for $42.29.
Yeah, I paid $36.76 on eBay, so, I mean, I'm not, you know, whatever, but I'm just saying as far as it being with the people that used to have the rights, Beast Machines is still there probably until they sell out of that, and then they'll no longer restock it on their website, because I'm betting that Shout Factory, I'm betting Hasbro got the rights back to Beast Wars, the whole Beast saga, and I'm betting that in that deal that they made with Shout Factory as a distributor, that Shout Factory will have some sort of Beast era set soon. I guess before I get to my notes, the other thing we need to mention, and I forgot to mention last episode, actually, I remembered like shortly after we ended episode 24, one of our listeners, Glade Packer, mentioned to us, I think it was one of the comments on the website, that he didn't like the Maximals always saying, "I am transformed." Because they say it a lot.
By now, they don't.
Yeah, we're kind of getting out of that because they're kind of getting used to it. And it's it's the same thing with all the activation codes from Beast Wars. Sometimes they say it, sometimes they don't say it. And
it
now
could be worse. Later on when you get into, and I think this started with Robots in Disguise and kind of made its way into the Unicron trilogy, but every time somebody transforms, there's a 10 to 20 second, you know, montage where, you know, we have to watch that person transform and then strike a pose, you know. Here they don't do it so much anymore. I mean, at first they did, because it was like, oh, look, they're morphing as opposed to transforming, and they had to drill that into our heads. But now, this far in the season, you know, they can all transform all at once, side by side, and, you know, they all say, "I'm transformed," but they all say it at the same time, and we don't have to watch a 15-second, you know, transformation clip
for each person. Character. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I really like the effects in the beginning when they're like, because they did like last time on Beast Machines when they did the scene of Optimus and him seeing the Maximals, and it shows all their past incarnations. I really like that. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was nice.
Like all the past Beast heads. That was cool.
Yeah. Well, it shows at least partially that, you know, they've gone back and redone the models from Beast Wars, which they kind of dropped the ball toward the end of the show when they use clips from Beast Wars that are not redone.
Right.
And it doesn't look right, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah. Rhinox's Spark has rejoined the Matrix. He is now a good guy again. Get over it, Wilson.
I'm a good guy now. Yeah. I don't buy it. It's like you couldn't have been a good guy 4 or 5 episodes ago? Because honestly now, come on.
Ape in a glass ball.
In a glass ball?
Yeah. When they go down to the Oracle. And Optimus is in the glass ball of the Oracle.
Oh, yeah.
Because he actually bangs on it, and he's like, "No, no, get away, get away." And he bangs on it like it's a piece of glass. I was like, oh, my God, that's funny.
Optimus in a fishbowl.
They hate it when you tap on the glass.
I'll
Don't
pet
do that.
Him and feed him. And
I'll pet him and feed him and play with him and call him George, and we'll move to the south of France, and I don't know. All right, I have a little bit of a diatribe with the next note. See, Michael, when Optimus brings the tech and organic streams together, that is when he realizes the whole balance issue. It is even stated that he wanted to make the planet purely organic. Then there is the scene where he actually explains it all. I'm right, you're wrong. Haha.
Well, here where he finally says, "Oh, I get it now."
Yeah. Where he didn't get it before. He was thinking that the Oracle was telling him to make the planet purely organic, not balance the two, even though the Oracle kept telling him find the balance, but he was misinterpreting it.
Well, we had never seen blue trees before, though. So this was kind of a new concept. This wasn't like a balance between, well, half the planet will be this way and the other half will be this way, or maybe, you know, some formation of that. It's actually, no, blue trees. We mean blue trees.
Carpe diem.
Capture the day?
Seize the day.
Capture the big giant head?
Well, it's because I think Rattrap said something about seizing your destiny or something, or it might have been the Oracle that said, "Go seize your destiny." And then, of course, Rattrap's line, and this is my last note for this episode, Rattrap's line was, he's like, "Looks like you aren't the only one who decided to make his own destiny."
He made his own big giant head.
Yes. Yes. It's,
I'm so glad that we're not following up on that comment. Thank you.
I know what it, I know what you meant.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't really mean that. It just sounded that way.
Oh. It is ahead of its time.
No rude.
At least it wasn't a tentacle should, head.
You should have stopped while he was ahead.
All right, so let's get this out of the way. Bob Skeer, in I believe the commentaries on this box set, or I don't know, somewhere, he had mentioned, and I'll go back, I'll reference this when I actually watched the last two commentaries, but it might have been the interview that he gave. I don't know, it was something that he mentioned about season two, and somebody, you know, he used to, you know, go on the message boards, the old alt Transformers message boards, and somebody asked him about some head model that they had seen, and they kept asking him, is it Unicron? Is it Unicron? Is it Unicron? He's like, well, I'm not going to tell you whether it's Unicron or not. Right. And I'm very glad, even though it's an homage to Unicron, I'm very glad that it wasn't Unicron.
I'm not sure if we could even call that an homage to Unicron. I mean, it's a giant head and it floats, but I don't think it's quite up to Unicron size. You know, it's not.
Oh, yeah, it's actually bigger than Unicron's head. It's
what, not the Megatron head?
No. Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Megatron head was a moon.
Megatron head wasn't even as big as their moon.
Or, I'm sorry, it Unicron head was a moon. That's what
it,
I meant.
It fit, like, it technically could fit in his, like, Cybertropolis. It,
yeah, it came up out of the Citadel.
It's as big as a city, I would say, but not as big as the planet.
No, it, no, but it's as big as Unicron's head.
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Asshat, no.
Yes, asshat, yes.
We'll put it this way. The Megatron head, the Grand Mall, is the size of a, like a ship, right?
Right.
You can board it as a ship and walk around the side of it, and it's actually got a pilot station somewhere on board. Now, the Unicron head, if you remember back to the movie, actually had a ship fly through its eye. A bit one of those big spiral ships.
Was like I know. Spiraling.
I mean, so you got to think. The Grand Mall is probably smaller than Unicron's eye.
No.
Yes.
No.
Unicron's head is the size of a moon. It's big.
The way that I'm looking at Unicron's head is from Starscream's Ghost. When Unicron's head touches down on Cybertron.
Yeah.
The Unicron head touches down on Cybertron, so Starscream can make the connections. If you take that picture and you put it next to the Megatron head, they're the same freaking size.
You're an asshat. You're so full of it.
Whatever.
Yeah, I have to agree with Steve.
You're an asshat.
Shut up.
You have an ass on your head and you're wearing it as a hat.
What do you got for this one, Steve?
You're an asshat.
Shut up. Just keep going.
Asshole. All right. First of all, I like where they show the dead bodies in the beginning.
The dead bodies?
Yes. Megatron's body as it disintegrates to nothing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
arms during still the maelstrom. Frozen in the air.
Yeah. Tankor's kind of spinning around. Or yes. At least their corpse, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not necessarily they're actually there, but Primal being flattened on the ground looked freaking retarded.
Him being a big brown splotch?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like, okay, he's got some solid parts here and the rest are dust.
Yeah, little bits of armor.
It makes me wonder
if that armor would come off.
Well, if you use a good eraser and some paint thinner, he'll be Optimus Primal underneath. Oh, wait, they mutated him. That doesn't matter. An eraser works.
Yeah, he's just a big brown splotch.
But, no.
I like that, though, because he's gone. I mean, you know.
Yeah, what else is new? They have to do something to him every season.
Well, it didn't occur to me, though, how... Well, it's like, he come back to life... And he's solid. He's the only person who's alive at this point because everyone else is dead and floating lifelessly through the maelstrom. And he grabs the beams right? And kind of puts them together, and it becomes a purple beam that shoots down into the planet's core and hits the Oracle. And I'm thinking, why is this beam shooting, you know, down, all the way to the Oracle? And it just occurred to me that, you know, the purple beam disintegrated Optimus, and then when it hit the Oracle, it trapped him inside. At least that's the way I'm interpreting it now. At first, I'm thinking, what the hell just happened? I have no idea what just happened. That happens a lot in this episode, where I'm just like, what the hell just happened? I'm
confused. What the hell happened to one of my notes? Since you're bringing up the beam stream things, I don't know where this note went, but I did have a note that... Uh-oh, Optimus is crossing the streams. You're not supposed to do that.
I wrote the same thing. Yeah. Well, that's when Optimus, you know, he's having a talk with the Oracle, and the Oracle allows him to come back. And again, he's the only one alive within the Maelstrom. And then he grabs the technical stream and the organic stream, and he brings them together and he becomes the conduit between the two.
Yep.
And my immediate comment after that was, Optimus, when someone asks you if you're a god, you say, yes.
Times two.
Yeah. But I thought that was kind of funny. But it didn't occur to me. You know, I thought, well, all right, fine. So he's alive, and he brings the beams together. And then a lightning bolt hits the Oracle, and next thing you know, Optimus is a brown spot on the floor. I was just confused. I had no idea what the hell was going on. They don't tell the story very well at all here.
What else you got, Steve?
Well, obviously I didn't care for the way Megatron croaked, but...
I thought it was a nice effect. I mean,
it was a nice effect.
He's not technically dead.
No, I know that. You can't kill Megatron. What the fuck were they thinking? Say that. If Primal comes back, he's destined to come back. Pretty much. Yeah. And Rhinox, I don't understand this particular quote. When he says, my spark has rejoined the Matrix, I paid the price for my misguided deeds, but it's not too late for you. Embrace the true nature of your spark. But how will he have, you know, how has he paid the price?
Because he died.
Well, maybe besides that.
Dead.
He died.
But he's stupid.
Because he's dead.
Well, he's dead. He said, I was, exactly, I was a bad guy, and I died. Damn, you know, sorry, you don't have
to. He's like, I should have joined you, but I was stupid.
I should have stayed in hiding until Primal and Megatron killed themselves off, or killed each other off. But instead he decided to pop out and monologue for a while. Got his ass killed.
Well, no more low roads for him.
Exactly.
But yeah, other than that, I don't know. This is kind of a bland, I don't know, boring episode for me until I saw the Grand Maul show up in the end. I mean, I see that Primal has a power struggle, or more, not a power struggle, but a struggle with himself and Cybertron and a conscious check.
Yeah.
But I still didn't really care for this episode all that much.
And this is the last episode that really that the Oracle is even around.
Yeah, pretty much, which is weird. I mean, they have some quick reoccurrences later, but it's not really anything.
I didn't like it. In the sense that the Oracle's like, you've learned everything that I can teach you. It's like, wait a minute, you are a supercomputer jillions of years old. How is it that I now know everything that there is to know?
You know, we have like, eaten enough bacon. That is all you need to see.
All you need to know. Eat more bacon. Plant the bacon tree of knowledge.
And Dinobot shall rise from his grave.
Something like that.
That's all I got. I don't really care for this episode all that much.
Okay, Michael?
I did not care for it either, and I will tell you why. My first problem with this episode is that the first, you know, tenth of the show is all recap from last season.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, the it's a 20-minute show, and the first 2 minutes or so is all intro and recap. So, you know, right off the bat, boom, there goes a tenth of our allotted time. And after that, they kind of have trouble playing catch up. And toward the end, they don't catch up. They actually drop the ball miserably. In the meantime, we end up with a bunch of, you know, what the fuck moments. You know, Prime disintegrates, and then he meets Megatron in the Great Beyond. And they're fighting, presumably forever, for eternity. Now, oh, great, now I'm dead, and you're here, and I got to fight you forever. But no, now he's fighting himself. And now he's floating in space. And now, swan dive until you're alive again. You know, it's just, what just happened? I'm really confused as to what's going on with this guy. But then he's like, okay, I'm not dead. And he does this kung fu pose, wah, in the middle of this, you know, big blue thunderstorm, this big blue tornado. Don't know why, not sure who he's trying to fight here, what's going on. But he does the kung fu pose, despite the fact that a second ago he was disintegrated. Yeah, it's like, you know, in Beast Wars, Primal, died at the end of season one. It took like two episodes to bring him back, and we had no idea what the hell happened to him in that time span. But Rhinox managed to bring him back to life with. You know, because Rhinox was awesome. Here, they've killed off Rhinox, so in lieu of having him being a heroic and bring back Primal, we get to see Primal float through the ether and eventually come back. And it's just boring as hell. You know? I mean, it's just nothing really interesting going on here. In the meantime, you know, before Primal comes back. You've got the Maximals wandering around and trying to figure out, you know, how they're going to repopulate the planet. And they can't, because Rat Trap can't get a read on any of the sparks. So what are we going to do? It looks like we're going to have to repopulate the planet the hard way.
All right, Black Arachnia, spread them.
That's right. I'm glad I didn't have to say that, but yeah, that's what I was thinking. Bend over, Black Arachnia. Everybody grab an arm. Or two arms, actually. There's not eight of us here. But you get the idea.
Yeah.
And then the Viacons show up, because we have to do something with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge battle with everyone left over, but the huge battle consists of close-ups of everybody's face. You know, I can tell that they're jumping or trying to fight or something's going on. I can't tell what. I'm not sure what's happening exactly. You know, they... It was just very bad visual storytelling. I can't tell what's going on. Then the scene ends where they're all like, okay, everybody stop fighting. And we've got, you know, Cheetor, I think, on top of Thrust. And... what do we got? Jetstorm on top of Black Arachnia?
It is.
Yeah, and I'm just like, okay. From this panel here, I can kind of see what was going on, but for the last 2 minutes, we've literally been showing close-ups of people's faces going, "Whoa!" You know, and I have no idea what has happened. I'm really confused. I just didn't enjoy the visual. I didn't enjoy the storytelling. The writing wasn't all that fantastic in this one, to be honest. I was having my doubts about season two here, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And then the entire last third of the episode is a clip show, and it's like, you know, they find Optimus in the fishbowl. And they say, oh, we love you. You're the best. And Nightscream says, you know, you gave me a family, so we have to show back to that. And Black Arachnia says, oh, you showed us how to transform, so we have to go back and show that scene. And it's like, well, we've already seen all these scenes. You know, we know what happened. We were there, remember? But no, they have to go over it again. So we get another like minute and a half of just recap. And what's even worse is when you've got Optimus showing clips. Well, it's basically, yeah, clips. He's flashbacks, right? Of what happened during Beast Wars. And to make matters worse, you've got Optimus having, you know, flashbacks of Beast Wars that aren't even updated. I mean, literally, they've taken clips from the original show that where the animation, the graphics are not nearly as good as what they are in Beast Machines. So it looks kind of grainy and very pixelated. It doesn't look very good at all. Whereas earlier in season one, you know, they've taken these models. They have an optimal Optimus model that they've shown transformed. Right. They have models of, you know, the Beast Wars characters. They could have just as easily redone these scenes, but instead they brought them directly over and just showed them in all of their, you know, 1997 glory. Yeah, it just didn't look very good, and you could tell toward the end, it's like, man, they just really ran out of time here. They either ran out of time or they ran out of budget, because you've got these huge fight scenes where nobody's really fighting. You've got a goodly chunk of the episode taken up by clips of earlier episodes, and then you've got literally clips from the inferior, not in writing, but definitely in graphics series that are being shown. Just not as good. And then, I don't know, the ending was just bad. Because you've got Optimus, he's going to die. And again, to me, it would be a lot better if he just showed up and said, hey, I'm not dead. But here we are suffering through this painful process of watching Optimus figure out.
But he didn't die at the end. What are you talking about, dying at the end?
No, at the end, he's being drawn into the Allspark.
And then he says no. He exerts his free will. He says no. I am ready to join the Matrix, but not at this moment. And he lives. So
exactly. He's like, get the end of the episode. I decided that I won't be dead. Today, I won't be dead. And it's like, well, shit, I wish I could do that. You know, it's like, I thought I was going to die. I got hit by that truck, and I was pretty sure I was going to die, but I said, you know what?
I'll be fine today.
Exactly. Yeah, I think I'm fine today. You know, everyone wants to be part of the Matrix and absorbed into the Allspark and blah, blah, blah. But no, I don't think I'm going to do that today. I got better shit to do. And then what bothered me is right here is where Beast Wars would have given him a new body. He would have upgraded. He would have been Transmetal or Transmetal 2 or something. But no, I'm back to life and I'm in the same body I had yesterday. But, you know, it didn't make any sense to me. And again, I blame the writer. Either that or, you know, I blame the animators, the same animators that are reusing clips from the previous series. You know, they're just too damn lazy to come up with a new body, so instead we get the old body.
I would have liked to have seen a new body.
I think it would have been really nice.
But the problem with him getting an upgrade was he wasn't in the Matrix to be reformatted. That's the thing. He was already reformatted into the techno-organic body that he had. So there'd be no way that he could get an upgrade.
Well, they could have made him bigger or better or cooler.
They could have made him more optimally.
Given him more of an optimal. Yeah, could have made. Maybe, you know, the thing with optimal.
Optimus, they could have given him an optimal situation.
Exactly. With Optimal Optimus, he was just basically a big Autobot. You know, and they can't really do that here because we're not going for Autobot. We're going for techno-organic balance. But they could have done something better. They could have made him bigger or given him a different color scheme even. They could have done anything. And, you know, they just dropped the ball. I mean, maybe it wasn't part of the story. Maybe they ran out of money and couldn't animate it. I don't know. But, you know, it gets worse. The Oracle's like, hey, good job. You know, but your princess is in another castle.
Nice reference.
That's about it. You know, hey, you know, we've taught you everything we can. You know, I'll see you later. How about that, you know? After the Oracle was hacked once already, you know, I wouldn't trust it. I'd be like, screw you. I know you're holding out on me. You know, I'm going to throw a diagnostic drone into your ass, and you're going to tell me what you're not telling me. Yeah, and, you know, I'm sure that they can find a diagnostic drone somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, to me, it just seems as if they really dropped the ball on this one all the way around. You know, and then to add insult to injury, we've got blue trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's foreshadowing here because by the time it's all said and done, the whole planet is covered in blue trees.
True. So, do we have anything else on the fallout?
Not so much. The only thing I would say is that, you know, we spent a good half an hour here watching Primal come back to life twice. You know, through this long, drawn-out, boring-ass process. But we have no idea what happened to Megatron.
As far as we know, but we're getting to that.
I know.
We're getting to that now.
I know.
Technically, we do, though, if you read the Transformers Legends book.
Well.
Oh, yeah. I've gotta go back and read that. But,
well, I mean, again, book aside, dealing with strictly cartoon continuity, we will find out about it, you know, obviously, in the next episode. So we are going to move on.
Take cover!
Not feeling very talkative? Let's see if your spark wants to chat. Megatron. Megatron, if your spark can hear me, call out to me. Wasn't a sentient mind.
Up next is Savage Noble. While trying to recruit the Viacons, the Maximals discover themselves being stalked by an all-new threat. Synopsis was okay, but it wasn't like whatever.
That's kind of what happened.
It's like, ooh.
Yeah. I'm going to get a closer look. Isn't he ugly enough from here? Zing! Black Arachnia and Night Scream.
I know. I almost jumped into, that's what your mom said! I didn't. But I think I just did. Sorry.
Yeah, you did.
I kind of did.
Yay, we see Purplehead Megatron again.
What?
Yay, we see Purplehead Megatron again.
Oh, dear God. I thought you said something about Purplehead. So wrong. So wrong.
Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, it was nice to see him back. I was kind of iffy on it because it seemed like they showed the back of his head.
They did.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I want to see his face. I want
to. They showed his face too.
Well, it didn't.
Briefly, but they showed it to it.
Yeah, it was like too little, too much, too late.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was a nice, you know, little fan wankery there. Because we haven't actually seen, you know, his
exactly
his Megatron head. You know, we've seen his eyes in the helmet, but
yeah,
that's about it. So it was kind
of
cool to
that's
see.
That's actually all we get after, I mean, the rest of the season. That's all we get is the giant head and a digital version of the giant head. But so Savage Eagle's dragon fire breathing thing that looks like a deformed Beast Wars dragon Megatron. And Noble equals a bluish wolf slash doggy bot.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking that Noble is what Silverbolt should have looked like.
Oh, no. I like Silverbolt in this series.
I don't.
I don't either.
He's a big chicken. A big blue chicken.
I like his robot mode. Thrilled.
His robot mode's okay. I mean, I like how they went with the samurai motif. But I don't really think that was him. They should have went with more of a knight motif.
Welcome back, Hellraiser.
That's so bad.
Yeah, I'm just not happy with it.
I have a lot of issues with this episode and the next episode, and they start here. How do they not realize that Noble is Megatron? And I'm just going to go, I don't even care about fucking spoilers. If people don't know it by now, Noble is fucking Megatron. He uses Nightscream's exact story. They even use the Nightscream old Cybertronian footage. Can you say plagiarism? Hello?
They can't plagiarize yourself.
Anyway. And then he goes, at the end of the episode, he goes, I hate what I am. If they can't realize that Noble is fucking Megatron, duh.
Well, I mean, Noble is an organic who transforms into another organic.
Exactly.
For the purpose of this episode, you know, first of all, nobody notices that, well, yeah, let's put it this way. Nobody notices that Superman only appears when Clark Kent disappears.
I know. It's like, the whole Superman syndrome, but the thing is, just with the way he acts and just
Well, no, he comes across as a really nice guy with an occasional evil grin.
Smile at the end, yeah. Noble knows what he's doing.
No, exactly. You know, he's still. I don't want to say you can tell he's evil, but yeah, they kind of give it away a little bit.
No, he's appealing to their noble side.
Yeah, but the fact that, you know, he's a giant red dragon, you know, that should tell you something.
Yeah. So let's talk about Noble's voice. I specifically, even though when we interviewed David Kay, I specifically got the interview for Steve, there was a specific question that I had never heard anyone ask Mr. Kay, and I asked him, when they wanted him to do the voice for Noble, was it something that they said, you know, get it as close to your own voice as possible to make sure that people don't know that Noble will eventually be Megatron? And he said, yeah. And him talking as Noble is pretty much his almost everyday normal voice. And I thought that was so cool that they were able to fit that into the series without him being the Megatron voice.
Right. Well, they could have just as easily have had Scott McNeil do it.
Well, true, but still, it's much better if David did it. So, anyways.
So there.
Well, you know, honestly, when I was listening to it, I thought he sounded a bit like Silverbolt without all of the
holier than thou pomp shit
and circumstance attached to his voice.
Yeah. No. Steve, what do you got for Savage Noble?
Well, even though it was a weird concept, I kind of liked Savage Noble. For some reason, despite the fact it didn't have a robot mode. I mean, you could consider Noble kind of a robot mode. But it's kind of funny with Savage and Noble, because Noble is Megatron's calm, cool, and collected side, and then Savage is just his pure anger and him being completely pissed off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was kind of cool to see the two halves of his personality. And, you know, obviously he separates from it later, but... and it's weird that Primal searching for Megatron's spark couldn't sense it within the creature.
See, I don't even think that Primal even tried to look for a spark in Noble because they kept saying...
He attempted to contact Megatron's spark, but couldn't.
Well, he was trying to contact whatever was inside
the head.
Big giant head.
Yeah.
I don't think he was trying to contact just the spark in general.
I mean, Primal does say that, you know, he's trying to reach out to Megatron's spark, but all his power is aiming towards whatever is inside the big giant head. And I guess you could say that Megatron had brain damage. Really?
Galvatron,
anyone? No.
As you find out later on, you know, Megatron knows what he's doing.
He can, well, right.
He can transform at will. He's just doing this all as an act.
I know, but I mean, as far as the big giant head goes, is what I'm saying is that Megatron, before we even meet Savage or Noble, like when the episode first starts, and Optimus is like, well, let me try to contact the, you know, whatever's inside there, see if there's anything in there. And you have all this stuff going on, like this whole schizophrenia type stuff. And he said, that's not a sentient mind or whatever. And what I'm saying is Megatron, big giant head Megatron, could technically be classified as brain damaged.
Big giant head Megatron is brain dead in the sense that there's no spark in there. All that is a giant airship.
True.
With you know, built-in defenses.
And it's automated.
Yeah, it's automated defenses. I mean, Megatron's not dumb. He's gonna have, you know, traps and balances and whatever else in and around his new body.
Right.
It's not just gonna be his sentience in there. There's gonna be all sort of automated responses. And when Primal tries to contact whatever's in the giant head, that's all he sees. All he gets is the automated response. He gets the busy signal that says Megatron is not available at this moment.
It would have been much better if that was actually the what we saw.
The sound effect, though.
I mean, as much as I love seeing the old Megatron head, the old Beast Wars head, I think it would have been much better if we get that sound effect of the busy signal. That would have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been overused at this point.
What? Hey, look,
I just pulled out my Noble Savage toy out of the display shelf.
See, technically, I should own this, considering it was Megatron, but technically it's not.
Oh, you didn't get it?
No.
At that point, well, especially with the Beast Machines line, I really became a completionist and bought them all. But this was just an awesome toy. He's not nearly as blue as he should be, but if he were, then the Savage mode would not be nearly as red as he should be.
Mm-hmm.
But they did a nice compromise. I'm just going to have him hang on my desk here.
Oh, yeah. I don't like that toy at all.
I like it.
I don't like it. I understand that they had to have as much red as they did because of the Savage
mode. Right.
But, oh, God. The red and the... It's almost hot pink. Oh my god! Yeah, it's like the blue.
He's not hot pink.
The blue, yeah, it's hot pink. The blue bleeds into the red, and it's like hot pink. Oh my god, that's one of the ugliest toys I've ever seen.
He's not hot pink at all. He's got a blue chest, blue highlights on his shoulders and upper thighs,
yeah.
And his head is blue, and he's got ears that pop up.
Yeah. So what else do you have for this one, Steve?
I think it's funny where Primal is on a hunt for Megatron and hears them laughing, mocking him, screaming, and then it just ends.
Oh, yeah.
Showing that Megatron's clearly nuts at this point.
Yep.
What was the other thing I was going to say? In terms of Night Scream, who develops a set of feelings for Savage Noble? Because Megatron preyed on what he already knew of Night Scream.
Yeah.
And Night Scream is being dumb and naive, thinking, oh, he's my friend. I'll pet him and hug him.
We have so much in common. I'll be nice to him.
Maybe we'll get a date later.
I find it very funny that we've used that same Looney Tunes reference twice in this episode.
More than twice. I think you guys like that one a little too much.
No, it was only twice. It was earlier because I said, and I will name him George, and I will pet him, and I will love him, and I will hug him, and that's from the Bunny Rabbit episode.
I think that goes back to the Grapes of Wrath, actually.
No. Well, I'm not saying it couldn't be possible, but what I remember it from is the episode where Bugs and Daffy go to the Himalayas and the Abominable Snowman. But anyways.
Yeah it's Steinbeck.
Anyways. yeah, it's Steinbeck. Yeah, there you go. Is that all you had, Steve?
But yeah, I like that it's finally starting to
pick up.
Yeah, pick up from here and just get back to the nitty-gritty of it.
I didn't mention this. I just thought of this now. Poor Jetstorm and Thrust. Why'd you attack us? We didn't attack you. Yes, you did. That whole back and forth, that was so funny.
Well, yeah. That was like written by a five-year-old. It's like...
It's X-Cop and Transformers. Okay, like, so what do you got, yeah, Michael?
Clearly the giant dragon is not a Maximal, right? Well,
I don't think the Maximals ever had a giant dragon, so...
I don't think so. They had a shark, though.
Yeah.
They had a shark?
Yeah, shark.
Yeah.
What shark?
I forget what they named him. He was a shark.
Not in the cartoon, they didn't.
Oh, no. Not in the cartoon, no.
Well, that's what we're talking about here, the cartoon.
I know, I'm just saying.
So, Savage Noble, thoughts?
I wasn't entirely sure why the big giant head took off to begin with. It's like, you know, Megatron built this ship and put all the automated defenses in it, you know, the giant shield and the answering machine, things like that. But he never actually inhabited it, so why did it take off? Why is it floating there to begin with? Why isn't it still sitting out in its hangar?
Well,
he may have set it to activate upon his destruction, possibly.
That could be it. And the other, Megatron actually explains in the next episode what happened, but, you know, honestly, I think what it mainly was that the designers and the writers and the producers wanted to be able to show you at the beginning of the episode, or at the beginning of the season, at the end of the Fallout, that, oh, hey, here's a Unicron homage, you know?
Stop that. It's not Unicron.
It's a Unicron homage. Rat Trap even says, oh, the great, the great tribute to Unicron. So if Rat Trap said it, it's true, damn it. Shut up.
All right, fine.
It's a tribute to Unicron. It's not Unicron, but it's a tribute. Anyway.
I'll buy that, sure.
Keep going.
Okay. It bothers me that there's running water on Cybertron.
Yeah, that's a little strange.
There's a waterfall.
Yep, there's more than one, actually.
Yeah, and it's like, where's this water coming from that we've never actually seen before?
Yep.
I would almost understand if it were green ooze. Maybe the green ooze is so plentiful now that it's coming up to the surface and pouring over the falls. And I'd have to add, and I complained about this last time, about the really crappy animation on the green ooze, but the water has, you know, better animation style than the Green Ooze.
Yeah.
It's not awful. It's not great, but it looks like water running down. Looks like a waterfall, kind of.
Yep.
You know, not only does Cybertron now have water, running water, but it also has monsters. Big red scary monsters. And, yeah, I'm just like, okay. I'm not sure why. You know, and right off the bat, you know, I had thought that this the big red dragon was just an insane mutated Megatron. You know, like, well,
kind of is, though.
It kind of is, yeah. You know, it kind of is. I was only part right, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was only, you know, but I don't see why. You know, considering the fact that nobody actually found Megatron's body, and knowing that he was trying to separate his technical half from his organic half, nobody pointed to the giant red dragon and said, "Holy crap, that must be what's left of Megatron's organic half." Didn't occur to anybody. No, I mean that was the first thing I thought.
I thought it was Megatron, just because of the dragon.
Yeah. There are only so many red dragons running around in the Transformers mythos.
Well, not that many anyway.
Well, two that I know of.
Who?
There is a mini-con in the, I want to say, the Energon line that they've repainted a couple of times, but at one point it was a little red dragon.
Huh.
Yeah. Jetstorm and Thrust try to attack the giant red dragon. They call him Savage, and they're like, "We're going to attack him," and they both get hit with the giant double tail.
Yeah,
and it was totally a Team Rocket moment.
Oh yes, it was. Yes, it was. I'll give you that one. Yeah,
yeah. That one was Team Rocket. They're blasting off again.
That's the only part of the dragon design that I hate. That double hair, that double tail is just, ugh, it's weird.
You know, I like the double tail, and I'll tell you why. It's because I'm not entirely sure if they were planning it this way, but in the toy, the double tail kind of splits off, and each point of his tail becomes the back of his legs. If he didn't have a double tail, it wouldn't. You know, his legs wouldn't look nearly as good in wolf mode. Something would be off there. So no, I think I'm not sure if they planned it that way, if it's just happy coincidence, but you know, it makes for a good toy.
Mm-hmm. Except for the hot pink colors on the robot mode.
He's not hot pink.
He is hot pink.
No, he's not. I'm going to have to send me the link. I'm going to have to look at the picture you're looking at, because it probably doesn't look like mine.
All
right. Also, I think what I'd like to see the Japanese version, because when these toys came out in Japan a few years ago, they had much more show-accurate colors. And I'm not even sure if Noble Savage made it to a Japanese release or not. But if he did, I'm wondering what he looked like.
Yeah, I'm not sure, so...
be interesting to see that.
Yes. And yes, Michael Wilson has a hot pink toy.
Wait, I'm looking at the same picture you're looking at. I do not see hot pink.
That's hot pink on the robot mode.
Your monitor's all fucked up.
No, it's not. Anyways, what else you got for Savage Noble?
Noble Savage has this Hulk thing going on. You know, but his Bruce Banner is actually a blue werewolf. Yeah, which he's kind of like, I got a calm blue werewolf thing going on, but then I get mangry and Hulk smash, you know.
See, I don't see. I find it very hard, and we'll get to this once we get to the final episode today in a few minutes. But I kind of agree with Steve that Noble is his calm, cool side, but once we get to the next episode, that goes out the window.
Oh, yeah.
That completely goes out the fucking window. Because I've seen moments of him in noble form where he's just like, it's kind of like, you know, seeing Cheetor as a doggy bot, and it's like, "Arr." I don't know, whatever. So, what else, Michael?
Lastly, I was just going to complain about his transformation.
That it's all ooey gooey?
Yeah, he kind of melts into a goo, and then the goo changes colors and reforms into a dragon. Except for the wings. The wings kind of pop out.
I was going to say, if you look at his transformation, it's more of a cocoon type of thing.
I'll buy that, yeah. Yeah, kind of. I mean, he doesn't actually form a cocoon around himself and burst free of it.
Right.
His body kind of morphs into a...
Yeah.
Kind of like an indistinct shape.
Yeah.
And that's... You know, it's not awful. It's not... It's not good. it's better, let's say, than what the Maximals do. I mean, literally, at one point, you've got... It's either this episode or the next where Black Arachnia literally
is falling.
No, she bends over, right? And she bends over on all fours, and her front arms suck up into her chest, and her spider legs grow out of her back. And it's like, you know, you're not really transforming in the sense that Transformers transform. You know, you're like,
say that five times fast.
you're just doing this weird thing where, you know, your arms become your boobs or something. That's really kind of twisted. I just don't enjoy that. I mean, the only one it looks normal on is Optimus Primal, and that's just because, you know, he doesn't have body parts growing out of his chest or whatnot. For the most part, he just kind of does this Popeye thing where his forearms get really huge. Like he just ate his spinach.
But anyway, yeah. Oh, you mean his alcoholic weed. Lovely.
exactly.
Okay, so are we ready to move on?
Because I eat spinach.
All right, we are moving on.
Clearly, you are being drawn here, and in a way, so are we. Our war with Megatron has delayed our search for the missing Transformer Sparks far too long.
Now that Laughing Boy's a sparkless floating tribute to Unicron, we can finally get down to waking up the rest of the planet.
Assuming we ever find the Sparks, you really think we'll find clues inside Megatron's old lair?
Please, let me help you. It's the least I can do to repay you for all the kindness you've shown me.
We appreciate the offer, but perhaps you should sit this one out. It'll be hard enough for us to survive in there with all of the Citadel's automated defenses.
I'm being drawn here for a reason. I have to find out why.
You help me find my answers. Now, I gotta help him find his.
I'm sorry. It's far too dangerous.
Fine! We're out of here. Come on, Noble. Losers. Who needs them?
Don't blame them. It really is my fault.
Rat Trap, would you do the honors?
Why, certainly. Open sesame. Hey! What gives?
That was the one the late, great Megatron wanted us to find. Stay sharp.
Noble? Wait! What are you doing?
Hey.
Are we unclear on the concept of no?
I couldn't help myself.
Keep it together, Noble. If you change into Savage now, we're all cooked.
Remember what I taught you. Tame the beast within. Contain it. Control it.
I'm okay. Thanks, Optimus.
When your buddy gets us all scrapped, don't come crying to me, kid.
Until we find the main security grid, we have to be careful not to spring any more booby traps.
I can't shut it down from here. I mean, I might be able to from Megatron's throne room.
Noble, wait!
Landmines! Nobody move!
No! Oh man, that ain't Noble. That's Savage!
We have to stop him before he blows us all to bits!
And finally up today is Prometheus Unbound. The Maximals attempt to infiltrate Megatron's former fortress, only to have their mission threatened by their supposed new ally. That was an alright synopsis. I guess. Friggin' Rhino.
Every episode is a commentary on
Rhino. Well, it's because... first of all, I spent like an hour and a half transcribing this from the actual friggin' box to into Word. So, whatever. And again, much as I keep saying, as I said before in the last episode we talked about, I'm sorry, but if they can't see that Noble Savage is Megatron, the Maximals are complete dumbasses. He can change at will, for Christ's sake.
They don't actually do that until the end. I mean, up until the very end of the episode, they think that he's doing, you know, the Hulk, where he's angry, he becomes the monster. He calms down, he becomes, you know, the good guy that they all know and love. They don't realize till the end that it's all been a ruse.
Yeah, well, that's actually where my notes started, was close to the end. So, Rat Trap is in Megatron's command harness. It's just fugly. It's funny, wrong, and just, oh, God. I don't know. Rat Trap in the command harness is just weird. First of all, how is he staying up there?
I mean, seriously,
is like Cheetor on the bottom, Black Arachne in the middle, and she's holding him up inside the thing?
You would think that it'd have, like, magnetic something or another to hold you up in there.
Let's see, I don't have a problem with Noble being in it, because obviously Noble is much taller than Rat Trap, but I mean, honestly, let's face it, Rat Trap is a friggin' midget on wheels.
Tiny man in a big old helmet.
Alright, who ordered the charred broiled rat?
I don't think he suffered nearly as much damage as what he was complaining about. It's kind of like the diagnostic drone, who was never actually damaged by the fire. That, and they never actually do damage models in this series.
You didn't notice the smoke damage model on Rat Trap for that?
No, not really.
I thought you need to go back and watch it.
I thought it was just dark.
No, he has, like, smoke damage on him from the fire.
Okay.
A little wasabi and soy sauce and dinner is served. Wink. I love Cheetor, dude. Cheetor is awesome. That was just fun. That was just something I never thought I would ever hear him say.
Wasabi.
No.
Wasabi.
There will be no R-Truth references on this show, thank you very much.
Wasabi.
Okay. Not gonna. Oh, you weren't referencing R-Truth. You were referencing the old Scream thing from the phone. Yeah. no, there's a. It's a whole other topic, but it's one of those gangster rapper wrestlers that says what's up, all the time on friggin' Raw. Anyway, final note here: there never was any Noble Spark, so Megatron finally succeeded in separating the organic from the technological, but he got screwed and ended up in the organic half.
Well, the thing is, he could have done the same thing at any point in time up until now. Only he didn't want to take the risk because, oh, somebody might damage my spark while it's floating around. But here, you know, in a room full of Maximals, it's okay.
I like the way David Kay inflicted Noble's voice. He's like, "Work! Why won't you work?" It's kind of like, "Open! Damn it, open!" He's like, "Oh no, I'm in the wrong body! Holy crap!"
Yeah, that was a good scene. I mean, at mm-hmm. that point, it's like, wait a minute. I bet that's Megatron.
Yeah. You kind of know once you have the whole thing of him ripping Rat Trap out of the thing by the tail and the whole, like, white blinding light behind them with him holding Rat Trap up and then tossing him aside.
That was a good scene.
I mean, that's a dead giveaway. It's Megatron. And the stupid thing that pisses me off about it is Optimus, Cheetor, and Black Arachnia and Nightscream are all just standing there, and Optimus like Cheetor's like, "What's he doing?" Or somebody asked him, "What's he doing?" And Optimus is like, "I have no idea." If you see somebody, pick your little rat buddy up by the tail and toss him to the side like he's yesterday's trash, you need to figure out he's a fucking enemy, you morons.
Tosses him to his death.
Okay. Yeah,
that was an awesome scene, though.
It was. Steve, what do you got for this one?
I like how Noble somehow starts getting more menacing as the episode goes on.
Mm-hmm.
The more obsessed he gets with trying to get in the Citadel and get into his command center.
And that's the other thing. How do they not know, you know... I don't know. Go ahead. Keep going.
I think they're just borderline retarded because they're blinded for the fact that, hello, Megatron's not actually dead. They just like to believe he is.
Yeah.
Instead of Primal dying every season, it's Megatron.
Yep.
Which is weird. But, yeah, and then seeing Noble put his head in the helmet... And then go, "It doesn't work! Damn it!" I don't know. It just looks funny. But if you look at his eyes underneath the helmet,
mm-hmm.
it looks very Megatron-esque.
Yeah.
And how he, like, slants his eyes and just kind of...
I don't see how his head even fit in the damn helmet harness because, hello, that nose is huge.
Oh, Megatron has a big head.
Big head. Okay, keep going.
That blinding white light thing with Rat Trap was kind of retarded. It reminded me of a like an anime type thing.
I liked it though. I thought it was cool because it's like, you know, they're basically smacking you in the face, saying, "Hey, dumbass, look, it's fucking Megatron."
True.
Very, very Robert Rodriguez. You know, very stylized, but, like that.
Yeah.
But whatever. And then I liked where he took his own spark and then Megatron took off through the wiring and then they're like, "Oh, shit."
Yeah.
And the head came online and then he explained it like, "You fell into my trap for my whole plan to get back in my head."
Yes, and Steve now sounds like a robot.
He's got the Optimus Prime voice helmet on.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I like this episode a lot better. It's really getting back into it and getting more action and fast pace and back to the dark tones that we're used to.
And I think one of the things that kind of drew me in with this episode with the dark tones was just the way that, the music throughout this entire series, and I've said over the last 25 episodes, I will always make mention of this. It has been awesome, but the last two episodes here, Savage Noble and this, the music is just amazing. Because you have the Megatron theme at one point, and then you have some other different variation of the Beast Machines theme that we've never heard before throughout this series so far, when they're running from Noble, I think it is, or something. I don't know. It was just amazing in this episode. So, what do you got, Michael?
Well, I'll tell you. Noble, and this didn't actually occur to me until after I watched the first little bit of this, but he kind of looks like the pink bits on his face are tattooed on.
Could be.
It's like, yeah, he had some tattooing done, you know? Tell me who your artist was. We're going to totally hit him up. But he wants to get into Megatron's Citadel really, really, really bad. And, you know, I can't really explain why. Nobody seems to know why. Nobody wants to ask him why. And you would think that that'd be the first thing they do is ask, you know, what's so important about you getting in there that you want to come back here 5 nights in a row and beat on the doors?
Well, they did ask him. He's like, I don't know. I can't remember. He's like playing along.
I had a drunken party and I couldn't find my house.
I know my keys are inside. I just got to get in there and, you know, somebody can unlock the door for me. And the thing is, Rat Trap very easily unlocks the door. And whoop, there we go. Here, look, we're in. And, you know, if he could have done that at any point in time, why would they let this poor sucker run back 5 nights in a row and beat on the door? It just didn't make much sense to me.
I think they just needed a backstory for the episode for, you know, something for Noble to do.
Yeah, I suppose. You know, it's nice that they explain it at the end, but, you know, it kind of redeems the writing a little bit here since the first episode of season two kind of sucked ass. But, you know, they all get inside. They all kind of converge upon the throne room, right? And spark extractors come out of the wall. Nobody expects... Oh, never mind.
The tentacle porn.
I was going to say, nobody expects the tentacle spark extractors.
I wasn't expecting it, but hey, there they were, right?
And then Black Arachnia goes, oh, this is not going to be good. How do you know? Past experience?
She's had a lot of past experience with the tentacles.
It wants to suck you all over.
Okay, then. Moving on.
Or at least suck your heart out. Or suck your spark out. But, you know, the truth comes out. Nice cream. Noble Savage has been faking. It's funny because in my notes I've shorthanded this as NS. Nightscream. Nightscream's been faking all along. Nightscream wasn't the one faking. He's just the one that fucked everybody in their ass. Which is really sad because, you know, he was just so naive and so dumb and played right into Megatron's hands this time around. I would hope that – I'm not sure if they do this, but I would hope that in the future episodes he's not so trusting. You know, he spends the first season being a dick, and then so far in the second season, he's done nothing but screw all of his teammates. So, you know, we're hoping that either A, something really horrible happens to him, or B, he, you know, quits being such a douche.
I think you're probably going to get B more than A.
Okay, then.
And there is no option C or D, so.
Yeah, I'm not imaginative enough to come up with anything else higher than B. It's very cool to see the city light up. Once Megatron takes command of his ship, or once he has, command of his faculties again, let's say, at that point, the whole city lights up. All the Viacons get up. They all start shooting. And it's back to the running. You know, we had a nice break, an episode or two, where they didn't have to run anymore. And now we're running again. And we'll probably spend the next several episodes doing nothing but running.
Yay!
Yay! And on top of that, we're going to get a couple new generals. So we have more to run from.
Oh, yes, but you can't really run from those new people, which we don't really want to talk about them until we get there.
Yeah, we'll leave that alone for the
time. Yeah.
But Noble Savage lives. And at the end, he's kind of twitching, and I was like doing the Frankenstein thing. It's alive! Alive!
I tell you.
It's alive, I tell you.
Yeah, yes.
I kind of dug that, and I actually had to... I couldn't remember if he died or what, and I actually had to read ahead in the wiki just to see what they did with him after this.
You love reading your wiki, don't you?
You know, for me, it's easier to skim the wiki for about a minute than it is for me to watch another, you know, 4 hours of episodes. Especially when I'm sitting there. I mean, it takes a little while because I'm taking notes and I'm stopping it and I'm taking more notes. And, you know, I've got it on YouTube. I'm watching these on YouTube cranked up to 720 DPI. You know, and they look good that way. Especially, I mean, on my screen, not so much full screen, but I can crank them up pretty good size. And still have I want to say better resolution than what I have on my TV. I mean, they look better on my computer than they do on the TV. So, you know, I'll watch them on the computer, and every once in a while, just pause or rewind or stop to take notes and whatnot. And it you know, it's not a 20-minute show at that point. Each one takes a little while.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you had the DVDs and you weren't so lazy and just use the DVDs, it would be easier, so.
Now, if I played the DVDs on the computer, would it still be 720p?
No, I don't know.
Resolution?
Probably not.
Yeah, for all I know, I'm getting better resolution through YouTube than I am on through the DVDs.
Mm.
They haven't released these things in, like, high dev yet.
Yeah, so. What else do we want to say about Prometheus Unbound?
Let's hope the writing gets better from here.
Well, this is pretty good. I mean, I thought this was a pretty good episode as far as writing goes.
Well, I mean, like I said, Fallout was just awful. The writing was bad. The animation was bad. The storytelling, especially the visual storytelling, was just bad. I really feel like they ran out of time and ran out of money, which is strange because it's the first episode. The last episode, or I should say the second episode, wasn't so awful. But, I mean, I don't think a lot of thought went into it. Because, you know, here we have running water. We've got giant red dragon that nobody associates with Megatron at all. You know, it just seemed like if they had storyboarded this out a little bit better, they could have talked amongst themselves.
So
basically, I was complaining about the horrible writing and the horrible
animation
and on the first episode. In the second episode, I complained a bit about
the water and the...
Yeah, the running water and the fact that nobody noticed that we have this giant red dragon that is clearly Megatron.
Right.
You know, they could have made him any other color, and maybe nobody would have made the association right. But he could have been a big blue dragon, and nobody would have said, "Hey, look, it's Megatron."
Would have been better for the toy, other than being hot pink.
It's not. But I mean, as far as you know, that episode goes, if they had put a little more time into planning and storyboarding, maybe it wouldn't have been as incomprehensible. But by the time you get to Prometheus Unbound, it's not all that awful. I mean, the animation's good. It seems like the noble savage characters coming together until the end when you start you've got the Maximals broken up into two groups and they are taking two different paths through Megatron's Citadel, and inexplicably, even though they're heading in two different separate directions, they both end up in the same place. And one of the group has Noble stalking them, and the other group has Savage stalking them. And it's like, wait a minute, it's the same guy. is he running really quick between the two groups? Or, I mean, are they actually walking down, you know, two parallel hallways, and somehow Noble Savage is jumping back and forth in between them and transforming back and forth the whole time? You know, it just didn't make any sense to me there. And it's like, you know, their sequential storytelling, their visual storytelling was just off. And I'm hoping it gets better.
I think it does.
Now that we're back to running underground all the time again.
As usual.
Well, yeah, I mean, that seems to be the storytelling that they're good at. Again, the visual storytelling, they're happier with that short attention span theater going on. With lots of explosions and lots of running, rather than, you know, nobody's really running. How do we tell a story when nobody's running?
All right, so I think we're going to hear some quotes, and then we'll come back with the outro.
We'll return to the Beast Unleashed podcast after this.
Hey, this is Cheetor, and you're listening to the Beast Unleashed podcast, Ultra Gear.
Here's quote number one.
Where am I?
Fault of eternity, Optimus Prime. To continue our eternal battle.
Is it my destiny to fight you forever, Megatron? You forced my hand. Tricked me into destroying Cybertron.
We are all responsible for our own decisions.
What? Now pay the price for your unyielding fanaticism.
Here's quote number two.
Yeah, can't see it. Yeah, got it.
You searching for those missing sparks?
No, I'm reading the Sunday Funnies. What do you think I'm doing?
And quote number three.
No. Why won't you work? Of course, I can't interface with it as long as I'm trapped in this cursed organic form.
Have a spark when he's completely organic.
Free at last! Free at last!
Ha 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 ha
Now, back to the Beast Unleashed podcast.
Thank you for joining us here on the Beast Unleashed podcast. As always, get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. If you want to interact with us from now on, please do this. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Also, do this or we will find you. Follow us on Twitter. The show name is Beast Unleashed. Mine is TFG on Mike. Michael, what is your Twitter?
PeconCT Michael.
And Steve?
SCP21.
The hell kind of a voice was that?
That was a robot. Grimmate.
Oh boy, a nasally robot.
They call him Dance a Lot because he's a robot. He's a Dance a Lot.
Well, the voicemail line. Wait, what?
That was Dance a Lot the robot.
Oh god, Dance a Lot the robot needs to shut the fuck up.
At what point did the call recorder drop? Because it sounded like it did.
No, it's still going now. Shut up.
Okay.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. Actually, I just set up our Facebook screen name. So it's facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. So that's much easier.
Join the voicemail.
Shut up. Call the voicemail. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Beast Unleashed podcast and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be reviewing three more episodes from Beast Machines Season 2, those being In Darkest Night, Wolf in the Fold, and Home Soil. Stop soiling on my house, Springer, you asshat. Anyways, thank you for joining us. Now I am TFG and Mike with
Steve Megatron Phillips
and Michael Wilson.
Megatron, close the show.
Get off my lawn, you blasted kids. I'll get you and your sniveling dog, too.
For a 25th episode, this has been a fucking train wreck.
I'll give you a train wreck.
You don't even know how to drive a train, Megatron.
Oh, yes. Like you know how to drive a car.
Well, I do in Grand Theft Auto, but I tend to crash into things.
Hence why you do not have your license.
I don't need my license. I don't go anywhere. I'm a fucking hermit.
Yes, you cross-eyed bastard.
Fuck you, Megatron.
Megatron's really hitting below the belt.
Go play with your tentacle porn.
No, that's Michael the Complainer Wilson over there.
But he gives it to you.
I gave it to you, too. Let's be honest here.
But I do not look.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.